Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Oh, hey, girl, hey. What you got going over there on the west coast of the new lands of Americas?
I know we are completely separated again by the whole United States of America.
Space goes
and
coast to coast.
And this week.
What you doing?
I am talking about.
Oh, the suspense.
Women in color.
Ooh, what they doing?
Being discriminated against in astronomy.
Well, okay. Well, you know what? It's like, I feel like we're just going through the list. Where else are women of color being discriminated against in astronomy? And haven't they
That's my journey.
You know, I will save my anger for the corner, but I'm just already just like, haven't y'all seen Hidden Figures? Come on. Let those ladies in.
Right? You would think. You would think. It's ridiculous. But what are you talking about?
Well, you know what? I got nothing but love for you, California. I was there for two glorious weeks, and I want to do a little celebration of California, but specifically... I want to talk about all hail Queen Khalifa. Who is she? What was she? Myth, fact, or fiction? Exactly. You don't even know. You don't even know. Which is why we're doing this corner. And Eke, it just might blow your mind.
It just might blow your mind. My mind is ready. It is primed and ready because this sounds magical and cool.
It actually is.
And I am ready.
You're going to find out about the Queen of California. Is it you? Is it me? We'll find out.
Maybe it's both.
It could
Let's
be
go.
The Queens of Cali. I think that's what we just renamed our, we just renamed our podcast. And I don't even live
the
in California
Queens of
anymore.
Cali. And we have to spell it K-W-E-E-N-S.
Is there any other way to spell it? I mean, that's all I know.
Not in my book. No.
Girl, let's get... Okay, your book of Q...
My book of misspellings.
Oh, yeah. That's one for the kids. Get it for Kwanzaa. It's coming up soon, y'all.
I am ready, James. Let's go.
Whee!
Yes.
Hey.
Oh.
So many words. So many words.
I know. I'm so excited that we are still doing our podcast, but I'm sad that
Why are
you
sad?
Because you're away from me. I was legitimately like spoiled in James-ness. Like you were here 1 week and then you left and then you came back and then
back.
You were here for a long ass time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
It was the golden age of podcasting. Let us never forget.
And now you're gone.
Now I'm gone. So there goes that golden age. It's like back to the bronze era. We are like in like the stone age. We're having to do it from coast to coast. Like they used to do in olden times of podcasting.
I was just going to say, I'm glad that you gave us the bronze age and not the stone age. But there you go. You just demoted us even further down to the stone age.
You know, it just keeps getting, you know, these times, they are a changing, Eke. You just cannot even keep up with them. Eke, we were talking offline about George Lucas.
Yes.
And I made an offhanded, can we say that, offhanded,
off-color
remark.
We were riffing, right?
We were riffing.
Yeah.
And directors came up, and I mentioned George Lucas, and I said, fuck this guy.
And
then
Eke
said,
why?
And then I reminded her, and if you all, let's say all together, if you're listening, on the count of three, we'll all say the three words of why we should say fuck George Lucas. One, two, three. Jar Jar Binks.
I'm glad that you said the three words because, you know, some people were probably like, Mr. Jones or Data or whatever.
They're like, he ruined the Star Wars
prequels.
Trilogy by adding the prequels. And then they have a laundry list. So, Eke, don't get them started. Don't get these corner kids hyphy.
Because now that I'm thinking about it, actually, and we didn't talk about this offline, but the more that I think about it, I was only thinking in a Star Wars term. But if we take a little sidestep over to a thing called Indiana Jones.
There's like a whole laundry list.
Slew.
Well, he did actually produce them, and Steven Spielberg actually directed them, but...
Right.
Well, in his defense, Your Honor, in his defense...
Yes.
Eke, you were his prosecution for a hot second, and Eke raised in his defense, well, he is married to a black woman.
Right.
And
she...
then I...
She's a black woman who is high-powered, owns her own company, CEO, millionaire on her own right, did a TED Talk. So not only is he married to a black woman, he's married to a powerful black woman, which I'm like, bravo to you.
Is this his second wife?
I think so, yes.
Because his first wife helped him write the Star Wars A New Hope and then Empire Strikes Back. And that's why it's rumored why those ones are so good and why Return of the Jedi is... Like, really, Return of the Jedi, if we're really, really honest, it's not good.
I liked it!
But those Ewoks? Come
on. Yes! I was of the generation. I was a baby, and Ewoks were made for me.
Right, yeah, sure. But I would imagine, like, if you were, like, in your 20s and you saw these Ewoks jumping up and down, you're like, what the fuck is this?
I would be, fuck this shit.
You would be, exactly. Yeah, I just feel like Return of the Jedi doesn't introduce really anything new. We've got the Death Star is all back again.
Yeah.
The ending fight is kind of, it kind of repeats a lot of the same stuff that we already had happen. So
but
I feel
what
like,
about Lando?
Lando's also in Empire Strikes Back doing his own thing.
True,
and that's
true.
So again, like, I feel like Return of the Jedi doesn't offer anything that new or interesting. The opening, you know, I will say this. The first half hour is dope when it's, like, they're rescuing Han Solo. Like, Leia
That's
is,
tight!
Yeah. The whole entire stuff with Jar... Like, not Jar Jar Binks. Jabba.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He keeps haunting us. And that's why I think, like, maybe George Lucas was, like, maybe trying to do a good thing. Like, he was like, hey, black wife.
No, I think Jar Jar came before he had that one lady who I'm blanking on her name, which is terrible.
And she, like, set him straight. She was George.
I hope she was like, this is a blight on our relationship.
She's like, I'm going to forgive this, and I'm going to set you straight, Georgie. Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie. That's what she calls
him. It's true. I'm trying to think, like... I mean, I was of the Indiana Jones family. We didn't really watch Star Wars growing up, but my husband's very much a Star Wars fan, so I got into it a little bit later.
Oh, okay. I was the reverse.
Oh, really?
At the record state. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Your family was Star Wars?
I've only, my brother religiously loved that. And I only saw Indiana Jones. I think I saw, like, the first opening sequence of the second one. And I was like, this is horribly racist. It's like...
Yeah. Well, my family was able to sidestep that.
Okay, yeah.
It was the 80s, you know,
80s were a crazy time. Speaking of the 80s,
yeah.
Can we talk about something that I think many of you who were born in the 80s, when you've been trying to figure out who you are in this crazy Generation X, am I Generation X, am I a millennial? Fuck millennials, I don't really fit in. Like, we all just got roped up into this conversation of millennials that we didn't sign up for.
But wait, so I know what you're getting at. Actually, first, describe to the audience, please, what we're getting to right now.
You're like, I know what you're getting at, but what is,
audience does not know.
So, you know, while I was back in California for my brother's wedding, all of a sudden a new article popped up and it redefined the generation. So you've either been like a Generation X, or for a long time, I remember I was Generation Y for a moment.
Right.
And then this new conversation came about about technology, and it lumped a lot of folks into millennials. And that spans from, like, it's a huge span. It's like,
20
like
years.
It's 20 years, yeah.
Well, most generations are 20 years, though.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that makes... But I think, like, so much... I think part of the conversation of, like, why the grumbles have come from folks who've, like, maybe been born in the 80s or even, like, late 70s to be lumped in with millennials, which is, so much technology has been advanced in these last 20 years. And the technology has changed the way that we interact and the way that we think that, like, because I used to teach junior high school students, and to be lumped into, like, in the same way as them, like, as millennials, it was just so interesting because I was like, oh, but, like, I know a world before internet. I know.
Yeah, dial-up. Exactly.
I know not having a cell phone. Like, if I was like, Aneke, meet you at the mall at 3 o'clock.
You have to be there.
You better be there. Yeah. There's no, like, I can't use a phone, payphone, and call you, because if you pick up and you're at home, it's like, girl, why are you there?
Yeah, there's so a lot of, like, people waiting for a half an hour and then leaving. That's what it was like before. A
lot of life. Life was just the Craigslist misconnections page. That was life. We're just having to, I'm at home. I got to wait at home. Aneke's going to call me at 3:30.
Yeah.
5 o'clock. Aneke, I thought you were going to call me. I got stuck in traffic.
Yeah. So this micro generation, what you're getting at is called the Zennial, right? And they're between Generation X and Millennials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they combine the name creative, Huffington Post.
So here's the thing that I'm going to talk to you about that you might not be happy with me about.
What?
Are you ready?
What up?
Two things. Well,
here's the first one.
The first one is, I read this article, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, James, but the parameters for his annual is 1978 to 1983.
No, I hear you on that. Okay. And I know, girl, I read the article. I didn't just see the post. And I knew this is where you were leading into. And this is where I'm going to call bullshit on this whole entire thing.
Okay.
Because it sounds like to me, someone who felt, because like for me, it's like I watched the first season of The Real World. I know people who are older than me. So like, I think it should matter less about what year you specifically were born in, because I was a 5-year-old watching The Real World. Like from like 1989 to, well, I stopped watching a few years ago because it doesn't apply to me anymore.
Right. Right.
But like, so it's like, I understand all of those pop culture reference. Like my mom had me when she was 23. My brother was 5 years older than me. So that forced me to grow up at, my brother who was born in 1980, I am right along there with him.
That's why I brought that up. That's why I brought it up.
So that's why, like, I feel like we have to kind of expand of, like, when we say generation, it's sort of like just like, what do you identify more with culturally? I think.
Right.
You know, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Otherwise, I feel like someone just wrote this article and they're like, well, I'm good. Y'all ain't leaving me behind. It's like everyone's trying to get out of this millennial ship, and you ain't leaving me behind.
See,
uh-uh.
That is why I brought that up, because here's my second lead in. You are like, we are copacetic right now, because I gave you that hard ball for you to knock it out the park, which you did. And then you just gave me a nice little soft pitch to lead me into my next thing.
Okay.
I am sick of people bashing on fucking millennials as if they're like the youngins of the world. One, if you're bashing on a millennial, you sound like an old person now, because millennials are in their 20s and 30s. So the new generation that you need to bash, if you want to bash somebody for being young, it's called Generation Z. Get with it. They are in high school now. That's
boo
who you need
boo
to.
Boo all y'all. you and your Snapchats.
That's where you need to direct your old man anger at now.
All of your boos direct towards Generation Z.
Yes.
How can they get this cool ass name? That felt like that was okay. All right, whatever.
Well, it came through. It was, you know, X, Y, Z.
Okay. Which, I guess that. You know, I think like maybe we should redefine like generations though too. I mean, I guess it's just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't feel like, again, like, I don't know. Like when I was at my brother's wedding, which I'd love to circle to at some point.
Yes.
When I was at my brother's wedding, my younger cousins were like Snapchatting the whole entire thing. And like, and they're technically in the same quote unquote generation as me, but they were born in the 90s, right?
Right. Those damn 20-year-olds, man. That's.
And what I'm just saying is like, for me, it was like, I think the millennials in their 30s, because we knew life and we live life so long without technology, I think we're the first to sort of awaken out of, because I feel like there's a big awakening around technology. I think it happened after the election.
Totally.
We're like, whoa, we're addicted to our phones, we're addicted to social media. And I've seen people around in the 30s use it less and less, you know, more so than like, I think older people who like in their 50s and stuff are still using it the same amount. And like, you know.
I think
the younger ones are still like doing it the same. I feel like we are kind of like awakening, you know,
which is what you were talking about at the beginning, where it's like we know a time when there wasn't cell phones, so we're able to check ourselves easier, where we're like, oh, I'm using my cell phone a lot. Wait a minute, remember that time when I didn't have to use this? Maybe I'll put it down. Whereas like the younger group, like I would say probably 27 and down. I'm going to be very generous, even though there's probably going to be some mad 27-year-olds at me. But
probably. Everyone's trying to get out of that millennial boat.
I know.
But
it's been
tough. For those of you who are holding it down, being like, I am a millennial, this is what I do, I Snapchat it up the woo-yah. Like, I clap up to you.
Yeah.
Own who you are and change, and you can help turn that beat around for your generation.
You know what? I'm doing that. I own up to it. Whenever anybody bashes millennials, I always say, like, do you even know what a millennial is? You realize I'm a millennial. So it's like, maybe calm down a little bit, because it's literally every single generation goes through this. This is what people were talking about when baby boomers came around. They're like, those gross baby boomers and their fucking hippie disco jazz. Like, and then the baby boomers turned around and were like, fuck those Generation X and their grunge and they're angry and their gene jackets and flannel. And now Generation X is like, millennials suck. It's like everybody just turns around and bashes on the next group. Calm down.
But I just don't know if like you've seen such intergenerational aggression, you know?
I think it's because baby boomers are so fucking righteous and they don't want to be left in the dust.
Aneka, you are literally doing the same thing about, like, you just called fucking
up.
Baby boomers.
I'm not going down.
Fair enough.
I'm going up.
She's throwing elbows up. Well, you know what? Whatever you get in where you fit in, as I like to say, if you feel like you're a zennial or if you or whatnot, like, I think just be you. I'm all out of gas on this conversation. I'm out.
Just as an FYI, just to let people know, Generation Z starts in the year 2000, and someone who was born in the year 2000 is now currently 17. So that's...
Watch out.
Just
here
puts it in perspective.
Getting ready to vote. So Aneka just called a lot of us old. That's what she just
including
did.
Myself. Including myself. Jinx.
Personal. You can't talk until I say Aneke three times, Aneke. All right, see you in the next corner.
You told me I can't talk.
I know. Oops. I got to pinch you next time I see you. Aneke.
It's my corner.
She can talk if she wants to.
There we go.
You would talk too if it happened to you. Ba, 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 ba.
You just took that song away from me.
Oh, sorry. It's your corner. I just got into it. You're right. It was your corner and I did not let you talk. Sorry, Chef Boyard Aneke. What you got cooking?
Oh, out the can and onto your cans.
Ooh, like my cans, my sweaty cans?
Yeah, sure.
I also want you guys to know, sidebar, Aneke just told me the gossip, and I'm going to tell you guys the gossip. Aneke, she never talks about this on the podcast, but she is a world-class chef who'd be cooking for her man.
I'm actually a terrible chef, but I'm trying. I'm better now. I'm reading recipes, and I'm actually trying to learn. I just told James that I cooked some food for my man last night, and now James is mad that I never cooked for him.
Never. But you know what? Secret... Aneke, cover your ears. I never cooked for her either, so I guess we're
It's
even.
True!
You never...
When was the last time you cooked for me?
I made you that. Didn't I make you that pizza that one time? Was that you?
That was not me.
I boiled you some, like, water for some tea, and...
No, I you think... know...
That's cooking.
I've handed you a LaCroix before.
You did. I also have handled you a LaCroix, so I guess we are even on the cooking
front. We are equal friends.
I got burritos with you a few times.
That's like cooking. We cooked for each other.
You're right. You know what? Bygones. Glad we sorted that out. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so what I'm going to be talking about today, I found this article on Gizmodo, which is kind of like a science tech blog. It used to be a part of Gawker, but then Gawker got shut down by Hulk Hogan. And then...
I love that we're also getting a history of Gawker.
I know, we're not. That's all I'm going to touch on. But Gizmodo, I usually, like, my sources that I like to look into are, like, feministing, Color Lines, Mary Sue.
I love me some Mary Sue.
All of those. But I was really happy to see this on Gizmodo because Gizmodo is very much just like, this is the new cell phone. Oh, the Hubble found this star. You know, Mars is going to be in this area. So very not touching this. But there's an article called Women of Color Face a Staggering Amount of Harassment in Astronomy, written by Ray Paoletta. So we'll link that, of course. But I just want to give credit where credit's due for somebody writing about issues within race and feminism in a blog that wouldn't normally cover that sort of topic.
Yeah.
Which is excellent because we need to cover those things whenever we intersect all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's good to see that coming up in that article.
Yeah. So basically, we've covered this before on the podcast many, many times. Women generally, in general, like all women have a hard time in science. Mm-hmm. We've even, and I'm going to be specifying astronomy for this purpose of this article that I read and the mm-hmm. facts that I have, but we've even covered that women and women of color have had a hard time in astronomy because we talked about fucking Hidden Figures before Hidden Figures was a
movie. We did. And then they made a movie off it because whoever those producers are be listening to this podcast.
It's true. Hi, producers. Give us a movie.
Hi. Yeah. So you're telling me like, so this is like, so folks like Miss Cleo and stuff get like harassment. Is that what you're talking about? Like,
less star signs, more actual burning hunks of rocks out in space.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I often get astronomy and astrology confused. I was like, oh my God, who is harassing Miss Cleo? I get them confused. I accidentally took... my first class in college was, I thought it was an astrology class. I was like, oh my God, I love studying about science.
No.
It was physics.
Yes.
I was like, no.
You gotta work your spellings around.
Math mind. After physics class in science and history in high school, I was like, I'll never take a physics class ever again. And there it was.
Mm-hmm. Just to emphasize, I'm not going to go into the story, but just to emphasize kind of the surroundings that we're going with, there was an NYU professor named Claudio Basilico who basically came off saying that women have no right to be in the science fields.
Delightful. And this is when? How recently?
I think this is like 2012, 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In the 20. Like,
yes.
Recently.
A couple years ago.
You're saying numbers I know. Yes. Wow. Women have no... Okay, right. Great.
So
yeah,
this is what we're dealing
idea.
With.
Yeah. Okay.
This, yeah. You know what? I'm retitling my corner, Nerds Can Suck Too.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? We give them this like, look at their glasses. No, they're so, you know,
yeah.
Well-meaning.
No.
Nope, you say shitty ass things too. So we got your number.
We got you, nerds. Okay. So basically, it is extra. So it's bad for women, right? Women mm-hmm. in general, but it is extra bad for women in color. So there was research. So there's new research that just came out in the Journal of Geophysical Research. And I have to say that once again, we're dealing with a journal. This is a peer-reviewed journal. This is the creme de la creme of information. As a librarian, I highly approve it. So when I see something that is from Journal of blah, blah, blah. So this one is Journal of Geophysical Research.
Yeah.
I take it with no grains of salt. I'm like, thank you for this information.
Right, yeah.
So research in this article that was written in the Journal of Geophysical Research confirms that women of color do not feel safe going to conferences, at work, or conducting field research because of the continual harassment they receive from their male colleagues.
When you say harassment, I'm sure you're going to go into this, but just so you know where my questions lie, is this like sexual harassment or like just harassing, like, you get out of here, lady, like, or all harassments?
Well, right now, we're mostly, a lot of the study is focused on sexual harassment, but it's, and I think the term sexual, we can use it in both, as I was talking to my friends, the verb and the noun. So, sex as in women, the being a sex, and sexual as in unwanted sexual advances.
And Nikki, that is a really brilliant point that I want to just sort of, like, wax on. Just, I just want to feel it a little. Because I've never thought about that. So, all the snaps. You, okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear that, rewind it. Use that 15-second button because she dropping truth on y'all.
Yeah, we got to remember that sex is a verb and a noun. So.
Damn. Look, she said it again. All right. Woof. He was blowing my mind.
Okay, so the woman who conducted the majority of this research back in 2014 and then also a recent survey that I'll get into, her name is Kate Clancy. She is an associate professor at the University of Illinois, and her team are working hard to uncover a lot of these injustices that are happening. So all the props to Kate Clancy and this work that she be doing.
Give me the snaps.
Okay, so in 2014, Kate Clancy and her team surveyed 600 women in field research who are field researchers, which basically means they go to an area to research something. So if you are, like, for example, geophysical is, I'm assuming, for all those geophysicists out there, you could tell me I'm wrong or not, but going out to a plot of land, looking at the stone structure, the dirt, the thing, you know, geo, like land. So you're actually going to a place. So field researchers.
Right. Like if I'm a field researcher for menologists, I go and I study sexy men. I go to them.
I agree. Yes. There you go. You got this. Okay. Like a friend of mine recently did her PhD in humanities, but her topic was on karaoke singers. So she did field research by going to karaoke bars. So that's
amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. So field research.
We need to do more field research too.
We did at the Bay Area Book Festival.
We did, which is coming out soon. We did some field research there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she surveyed 600 women who are field researchers, and she found out that 71%, I'm going to repeat that, 71% experienced inappropriate sexual remarks, which could range from, ooh, it's cold out here, I see your nipples, or like, you know, my dick's getting hard off of looking at these rocks, or like, you know, stuff like
all
that.
All of those are awful, by the way.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, you tried to, like, they're all awful. You tried to, like, kind of say it's like, oh, it's just no big, those are all awful.
Well, that's how I'm trying to demonstrate it, because they're probably said real casual, and no matter if it's sexual, it is awful.
It's bad.
So that's 71% of that. And then, on top of that, 26% were sexually assaulted.
No, that's terrible.
Right?
That's terrible. Y'all supposed to be looking at the stars, like, do your work. Like, I don't understand. Like, I guess, like, I don't understand, because I've never sexually, like, assaulted someone.
Thank goodness. Not have, like, thank you. Thank you.
You shouldn't even be having to thank me for that. But it's like, I've never had, like, the want or desire to, like, do that. It just bewilders me that in a workplace, someone's just like, ooh, this girl, this woman who is, like, my equal.
Yeah.
I need to feel her up. That's why she's here in that lab coat.
Well, like, I think you're bringing up a good point. I think a lot of people who do this sort of stuff, who say sexually inappropriate things, or to an extreme level sexually assault, it's less about like, oh, I think they're sexy and I'm saying something and I can't control myself. It's more of a, you're not supposed power to be here, so I'm gonna make you realize you're not supposed to be here.
It makes me so sick to my stomach. I don't even that, like, I think you're so right. Thank you for reminding me and recorrecting that, because a lot of these things do have to deal with plot power, especially like if it gets to the assault level. So thank you for correcting me on that.
Oh,
and
no.
So even that, like, I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, I feel insecure. I need to, like, I don't get that.
Yeah. Okay, so, which is, I'm glad you don't get that, because you...
That's why we're doing this podcast. This podcast would be a whole entire different show.
Oh, I get it.
It's just 89 episodes of Aneke trying to explain to me how I need to, like, stop sexually harassing and assaulting people.
We wouldn't be able to make it to 80, James. You're making me very generous.
You're like, here we go again, episode 90.
Once a week. So that was in 2014. So she did a new study where she surveyed 474 astronomers and planetary scientists between 2011 and 2014. So the one that I said before was published in 2014. So, and then between 2011 and 2014, she was polling 474 astronomers and planetary scientists who either identified as women or non-binary, and came from various races and career rank categories. So basically, when I say career rank categories, I mean like graduate, postdoc, and more. So it's different. It isn't just like when you say astronomer and planetary scientist, it can mean a lot of things. Like, you could be in graduate school, you can be after you graduated and you're working on your doctorate, or you are a lab technician, like people who are involved in the field. So she did a wide scope. So she got different races, different levels, and all of them were women or non-binary.
Okay. Cast it a wide net.
Yeah, but this is good because it gives us a wide variety, right?
Mm-hmm,
she's a scientist, you know? So, okay, subjects were asked about everything from verbal harassment to physical assault. So the study found depressingly high rates among harassment among all women surveyed, but it concluded that women of color experienced the highest rates of negative workplace experiences. 40% of women of color reported feeling unsafe in the workplace as a result of their gender or sex, and 28% of women of color reported feeling unsafe as a result of their race, stated Clancy. So once again, as you said before, I forget the term that you said where it's the minority malaise or the, you know, the that burden where you don't know exactly where it's coming from. So you can say, oh, it's either gender or sex, or if it's race, I don't really know. Somebody's just being aggressive towards me, and it's awful.
Yeah.
So finally, Clancy, Kate Clancy, who's running this whole thing, she states 18% of women of color and 12% of white women skipped professional events because they did not feel safe attending, identifying a significant loss of career opportunity due to a hostile climate.
That's insane. I can't imagine, like, no one should feel unsafe not going to a work environment.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to, like, a work environment because I'm just like, oh, I can't stand this hoe.
Right.
But, like, you know, like, not because I feel, like, unsafe. That it breaks my heart.
It's fucked up. And this kind of goes to show what it's a double-edged sword because we're trying to... The whole perception of being a woman, the stereotype is that, you know, subservient, quiet, you do whatever you're supposed, you know, you fall in line or whatever, which is why so many sexual assaults are unreported. They're the most, it's the most underreported crime in America because not only do women get sexually assaulted, but then when you say something, it is then flipped and put back on you. Like, why is that? Why was she wearing a short skirt? Why were her titties out? Why, you know, she looks sexy, so what am I supposed to do? Boys will be boys, whatever. Like, I mean, look at our fucking president, and then look at Cosby.
Look at Bill Cosby.
Just fucking he, anyway, so that's... This is where it started to go into a Mobius strip of just, like, sadness, right?
Right, yeah.
And so because of this, permanent staff positions are difficult to come by in the, like, the science world, astronomy, and geophysical world, because many women don't really want to be branded as the one who complained. They're, like, when somebody complains, there are usually severe consequences for victims because it's re-traumatizing, like... They went through and then they have to explain it to somebody. And then that person has to go and talk to the perpetrator. And then that person is usually higher ranking. And then that person's going to tell all their colleagues. And then those colleagues are not going to hire that person.
You're just, you already had this horrific thing happen to you. And all you wanted to do was, like, in this case, you wanted to do your science. You wanted to, like, explore the stars and help, like, grow our species out into, like, the stars. You know, you want to help technological advancement.
Right.
Yeah, this horrific thing that happened. And then even if you do come forward, like, you, like, the trauma that, like, you experience and just having your name, like, again, like, what you're saying, like, again, like, women don't lie. Like, they just, no one wants to go through this.
Right.
Like, I think, like, so often, like, I would even say in, like, TV shows, like Law and Order, it's like, ooh, she lied or something.
It's
like
rare.
To get the attention. It's such a rare thing. And, like,
So, and a lot of the main reason that I'm interested in this astronomy stuff because it deals a lot with academia. And I work in academia. And academia is a weird type of situation because, one, it doesn't pay that well, but, two, it is highly prestigious to get in. If you have a tenure position at a university, you ain't going nowhere. Like, you can literally kill somebody and they'll be like, well, they're like, tenure, so what are you going to do? So
why is that? Like, I feel like I don't understand why they're so, like, who made that rule up? Oh, you're tenured. Like,
so fucking
weird. And then you get
weird.
A lot of shitty ass professors who are tenured, and there's some who are really dope, but there are some who are just like, I don't have to, I can do anything and teach, like, shitty classes, watch this movie.
Right.
That has nothing to do.
Like,
I watch,
I just feel like tenure, I don't know. I feel like I would want tenure because job security.
Yeah.
But I feel like there should be extended contracts. That's what it should be because people get lazy, people get tired, people get set in their ways. Like you were saying, put it on a fucking movie and let people watch it and you're like, oh, well, I'm tenure.
You should get reviewed. Like, I had to watch, like, in my Broadway musical class, we were supposed to be studying John Waters. professor was away at jury duty, and we were watching Desperate Living, and we kept waiting for the music to happen. Yeah. I saw things that this 18-year-old mind was not ready for in John Waters' film. Like, when are they going to start singing? No.
No.
And people chopping penises off each other. Goodness. I wasn't ready for this. And I'm not kidding. And I was at a bar, and they were replaying that movie. I was like, I was not ready for this.
No. See? Okay. So that's why... Okay. So... One, it makes it harder for people to get jobs in the field because tenured people are just sitting there not doing anything. So if you have somebody already going around spreading bad names about your words, being like, oh, they talk about sexual assault, that makes it even harder to get these rare positions. So
yeah.
Here's a case that happened, and it's okay. And it bums me out because it UC Berkeley, it happened here, which is like, whoa. Bay Area. You would think Bay that we would area. Be fucking liberal, yeah. But...
Be like, shut that shit down, you know, you would think.
Yeah, so get this. Okay, in astronomy, we're still in the main, we're just sitting in astronomy. Gotcha. A former Berkeley professor named Jeff Marcy, he was widely, you might have heard of him because this was widely reported. He... resigned in 2015 after a 6-month investigation by his university, UC Berkeley, found he had violated sexual harassment policies by kissing, groping, inappropriately touching his female students. And I would like to point out, he is a potential Nobel laureate.
Oh.
And then get this, it took UC Berkeley almost a decade to do anything in official capacity.
Wow.
So
it shouldn't take that long.
I know.
It shouldn't take that long.
It shouldn't.
You just like, if you do something like that, you fucked up, you're done. Like, tenure doesn't mean, like you said, you shouldn't be able to murder people and like,
right.
Oh, you still have a job. Like, you fuck up, you're done.
Exactly. It's putting students in danger. And like, yeah. How gross. Kissing, groping, and inappropriately touching. Get gross. And, that like sends shivers down my spine.
And most of these were these undergrads. Not that it matters, but like, I just, you know, when you're an undergraduate, you're that much more
susceptible.
Yeah. I mean, like, and this is like this is your first foray as an adult into education. Like, this has ramifications for these young women going forward. Like,
And I mean, I hate to be an ageist, but if you talk to an 18-year-old, you realize that they're still children.
They are babies. Mm-hmm. They are still baby babies.
Because I was an 18-year-old. I thought I was grown as hell. I was not. So it's...
I look back at my photos with my Cisco-colored hair, and I'm like, I was a child.
Yes. So, okay. So meanwhile, because obviously shit's not getting done fast enough... women in astronomy have been using this hashtag. So go to Twitter, look for this hashtag. It's hashtag AstroSH. So hashtag AstroSH, which stands for Astronomy Sexual Harassment. And this is where people report their stories. They get them. At least they get it out there. There is a motive to get these stories out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be thinking like, well, what is, I need to, Aneke, I still don't quite understand the breakdown. Why are men like so dominant? Why in this field, like shouldn't women band together and help each other out in the astronomy field? I just want to close on a study just to kind of give an idea of what we're looking at in the environment that women are in. The National Science Foundation found that between 1973 and 2014, wide scope of time, 73
to
2012. Yeah. There were 22,172 white men received their physics PhD over the same period, 1973 to 2012, 66 black women received their physics PhD.
Wait, just 63?
66.
Compared to all those... Oh, 66. Oh, even... Well, three more.
Yeah, you what? Know. Ooh, compared okay, to 22,172 white men.
Can't afford to miss a single one. No. 63 to 66 makes a difference at this point.
Yes.
That is insane. Why do you think that is? Because it's such an unsafe environment that, like, for one, these women probably don't either sometimes really finish their careers.
Right.
And so then they're not in places to also help motivate other women to also move up and to be mentors or give leadership or even to create safe spaces
exactly.
away from these jerks and assholes who can't like keep their own insecurities
right. exactly.
together.
It's that because like that even takes a strong. So one, you are one out of thousands. We're just thinking about black women right now. The one mm-hmm. 66 between 1973 to 2012. So you are one out of thousands. You are probably the only one in your class graduating and so on and so forth. And then you get to the fucking environment and then you got people giving you harassment about your race and your sex. So mm-hmm. if you watch Hidden Figures, you can see where this starts. So basically women yeah. weren't allowed to become, they weren't allowed mm-hmm. a seat at the table, to quote Hamilton. Yeah. They were, mm-hmm. Women were only allowed to be computers, which at that time was people who literally crunched numbers. That was their job.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. below that, they were segregated. Black women had to be even below the white women who were computers. So it is like clawing to try and get up there. And then once we're there, all the white dudes who are not used to seeing people that don't look like them in the space try to assert power by being shitty to these people that are there. So one, if you are in astrology or science or a field where there isn't a lot of women or people of color, maybe keep your shitty comments to yourself. Maybe if you want to comment on somebody's blouse, maybe just don't do it because they're already up against a lot of struggle being there. And two, yeah. if you have a friend in that field that is doing that shit, call them out. This is not a time to be silent. We can't be silent anymore. Silence got us to the age of Trump and the bullshit that's mm-hmm. happening right mm-hmm. now. We cannot mm-hmm. be silent anymore. And I don't care if you lose a little bit of your privilege. It is time to give back and make sure that we don't live in a burnt out cavern that used to be America, because that's what silence is going to get us. So yeah.
You know, I would say yes to everything you just said. And I would say even to like, I think this probably even transpires to other fields where there's not a lot of women. Like, I think even like women in some portions of business, like
right.
in banking.
Yes.
And that like, I think another way too, like if you have friends who are in these industries that are completely male dominated, but like you have a female friend who's in it
right.
or someone who's kind of not heavily represented, like maybe just check in with them and have like a real conversation with them and just be like, hey, so how's it really going?
Right.
Like they might be looking for someone just to talk to
yes.
as well.
Right. But don't push so just, it. If they're like, fine, thanks, right. don't just linger
yeah.
there. You can,
yeah.
you
got because I know a friend of mine in general, she feels like she has no one, she can't talk to any of her lady friends about this. Like, or even some of the guys that she's dated when she says like, hey, this, her like believes that this is happening or that there's like harassment that's happening or that there's like she's being treated differently. Like she's having to work so much harder than her male counterparts.
Right.
It's not in her head.
No.
And she needs someone to just sort of listen to and talk to, you know?
Exactly.
And sometimes like even just like asking like a curious question of like, hey, so how is it in your industry? Is it tough? And they might have a floodgate of information that might just come out and just want someone to be able to talk to about it.
So true. So true. So I guess.
Can I tag something on to before? I want you to close it up, but I wanted to.
Yeah.
This circles into something I wanted to talk about, but
okay.
it goes so well into what you already have here.
Totally.
But just like. Just like going back to like education, I know you're so tired of this woman, but Betsy DeVos she's essentially meeting with these men's rights activists.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting that you have like. I can see where all of this is like stemming from.
Right.
Of where it connects to. Like there's this group of. Essentially, this group, the National Coalition for Men,
uh-huh.
who are like, it's these groups, it's the National Coalition for Men and this group for Stop Abusive and Violent Environments,
mm-hmm.
in which sounds like it's a support, like both of these groups are essentially wanting to not create, like they're wanting to create spaces where
mm-hmm.
they don't want men to be blamed for rapes and sexual assault, essentially. Like, saying, like, they gotta have more proof is what they're trying to do. And they're sitting down with, like, Betsy DeVos, which I guess on one end, it's like, I guess sit with everybody, but fuck those guys because women don't lie about sexual harassment and rape, you know?
I just am kind of annoyed Betsy DeVos is just clearly a pawn out there to just destroy and distract and ruin everything. Like, that's what I was talking about before. Like, when you bring this up, it's the silence. moments that got us to this point. If you're able to sit back and let your friends be dicks to other people, as long as you're not on the target, then you're a part of the problem. If you had an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or a mother or a cousin who said they were going to vote for Trump and you didn't even give them a side eye, you didn't even say, well, tell me what your reasons, or because I'm not here to say that you need to have a physical punch out fight with people. But I feel like the reason that we have Betsy DeVos in the news being Stoops is because we aren't questioning each other more. We aren't holding each other accountable. We aren't literally just being like inquisitive. Like, I feel like inquisitive is the best way to put it, because it's not confrontational. It's not starting a fight. It's not a debate. It is literally asking someone why and making them forcing people to understand their own actions and why people aren't acting and how we got to this place. It's like, it's so frustrating because all of this stuff keeps happening. Every time I turn on the news, Betsy DeVos is doing something stupid. I turn on the news, Trump is doing something stupid. Now,
and she's, well, especially because she works in, like, you work in academia and she's connected to academia. So I'm sure, you know,
it's idiotic. The fact that we aren't saying anything. I mean, we are. You and I are saying things.
We are. Yeah, you and I. We be saying stuff to each other.
We be saying a lot.
Say a lot.
It's just we can't afford to be fucking silent anymore.
Sure. And like, that's why I say, like, when she's willing to meet with these groups, but when we ask her if she's willing to meet with LGBT groups, and she just says, well, we gotta just leave it up to the states. That's when it's like, no, this is like, go fuck yourself.
Right.
You know,
right.
This will not stand.
Right.
You know, so you better meet with these groups.
Right. So basically, I guess what it boils down to is,
stop harassing women.
Well, yeah. One, if you feel threatened by a woman in your workplace, go to therapy. Work those problems out.
Ooh, can I, before you wrap it up, can I ask you a really quick sidebar question?
Yeah.
Do you think that in some ways, like, maybe, and I'm not going to generalize, but some of these kids who are in, like, astronomy maybe got picked on in high school or are kind of, like, think, like, maybe there's, like, you know, like, they're, like, trying to take it out on these, like, women who they're like, this is my land, and not trying to do, like, a big nerd voice, but, like, it's this sort of cycle of, like, hyper masculinity.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. You can pick from column A and column B. There's always a way for a man to feel threatened or insecure, and it can stem from being bullied as a nerd, or it can stem from just because we live in a patriarchy where masculinity rules supreme, and because you're a man, you feel like you have power that can be over. I mean, if you flip it to a pink collar field, like librarian or teaching profession, which is mostly women, it is not the reverse. Men are celebrated in those fields because it's such a rarity. So
yeah, you ladies aren't like, hey, big dick,
no,
why don't you go pick up that book or you want that promotion? Like, y'all aren't doing that.
Right.
It's just like, everyone just peacefully coexists.
Because
it just happens.
No, it isn't peacefully coexisting. It's men getting promoted to being principals and administration over the women.
Oh.
Men are being celebrated for doing half of the amount that women are doing because it's such a rarity that they're in the field. So we live we live in a patriarchy, and we need to start questioning why. We need to start questioning why there's a high percentage of harassment. If you have a friend who was told, oh, you know, your tits look nice today, then report it. You know? Like, we
report it to us, and we will put their names on this podcast.
Yeah.
I will blast their faces out.
That's what I mean. So that's kind of what the whole point of me bringing this up is. The focus was astronomy, but it's all over the place, and we need to stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Aneke, that is actually a perfect segue into, it really is, because you're dealing with science and patriarchy.
Right.
I want to take you back in time to a land of matriarchy.
Oh.
We're going to the island of California.
Ooh.
Hailed by Queen Khalifa.
All right. Let's go.
Khalifa, Queen Khalifa.
So I know about Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, everybody knows about Wiz Khalifa. Okay. Not to be confused. And you know, after this little segment, this is probably going to be a two-part segment here because there's so much information about Queen Khalifa.
Yes.
Because I got back from California and I realized I love California so much.
It's hard to hate, baby. It's hard to hate.
I went back to the Bay Area and I was like, oh my God, I left my heart in San Francisco Bay Area. Like, it is just my home. Mm-hmm. I know I send mixed messages by wearing my Yankees cap.
I know, and out in public.
Out of Oakland A's, nonetheless, out of Oakland A's game, like went to a Yankees game and they were playing the Oakland A's.
Well, just
you know, it's been a very bit confusing transitional time for me.
Love two places.
That's true. But the Bay Area, and so like my one of my cousins was like, oh yeah, you know about you, and you've seen Queen Khalifa, and you didn't know who she was or what she was.
Help
so
me.
Sometimes, so I'm trying to. You're like, I need to know. And so Queen Khalifa, you know, so where does California get its name from?
Queen Khalifa, I'm guessing.
That's right, Aneke. Okay. Yes. You were on point.
Yes.
So like I was backing out with my cousins and they were like, whoa, did you? And they kind of just casually said it. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, when you see that woman on a lot of like California seals, like seals and emblems or whatnot.
The Native American woman?
It's Queen Khalifa.
Okay.
And she was a black woman.
Oh.
Queen Khalifa
what?
Was a black woman. I'm going to throw some information. We're going to go on this magical journey
okay.
of a ride.
You just gave me
two parts and two episodes.
You are setting this up like a documentary. Most documentaries will give you, they'll be in present day. They give you a little taste of the current and then they go back in time. I'm ready.
Yeah, right. And there's so much information. And like, here's the thing. I'm going to preface this with some of it is and it's going to also go into like who controls history.
Oh.
A lot of this information, you're going to be like, why haven't I heard about this before? Right.
Yeah.
But to quote Dr. Leonard Jeffries.
Okay.
Whoever controls the images, control your self-esteem, self-respect, and self-development. Whoever controls your history, controls your vision.
Wow. So, that's deep.
Remember that a lot of stuff in throughout history, that a lot of stuff gets destroyed
mm-hmm.
and doesn't get, you know, so a lot of this and Queen Khalifa being that she was a black woman.
Wow.
Some have tried to tout her out that she's just a myth and she's just this other representation. But let's explore the myth of Queen Khalifa, and I will allow you to take the information. Either way, it's fun to learn a new myth if it is just a myth. And if it is actual history, damn, let's learn some new history about this powerful black woman.
Story times with James about California. Count me in. I am tucked in and ready for this bedtime tale.
Starring this like powerful black queen woman. Yeah.
She is so in. I hope that she does awesome things because I already am feeling her power.
Yes, I mean, I can't. I want to know. Just keep to yourself, like who you've cast as her. So
me?
I will ask later. Oh, good. You know what? I cast you too, like as one of her daughters.
I'm not even so, her. Okay, let's get into this.
You're a little young to play Queen Khalifa.
Ooh, but, thank you. I'll take that.
So according to some scholars, there were Africans who came to the the new lands of Americas.
Mm.
Before slavery.
I believe
before
it.
Before Columbus.
Yep.
And thousands of years before Jesus Christ.
There we go.
And in many of these cases, blacks were in other indigenous nations.
On.
Yes.
Jesus never came to America.
Well, I know, but this is like saying that before, like even before Jesus was even born.
Okay, got it.
Blacks.
Got it.
I'm not being a Mormon. apparently, didn't he like bury a book over here in Utah?
There's something.
Anyways,
that's what John Smith was out there wandering around in Utah for.
Oh, John Smith. I want what you're smoking. No, I don't.
No.
So essentially, like thousands and thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. Blacks were already here, along with the indigenous folks as well,
mm-hmm.
establishing thriving civilizations. And Queen Khalifa and what was known as the California Blacks were part of this. There was an ancient black nation that was living here in the Americas.
California Blacks? Yes.
Yes. According to myth and legend, okay?
Yes.
So I'll preface this with this, but this is sounding and as we go through, you're gonna be like, that kind of makes sense.
I mean, it does make sense. Let's first of all just think about the Polynesian cultures. If they can get Hawaii, Fiji, Samoa, all across the world, all derivative of the same culture, seafaring people. Why can't people from Africa be over here in California?
Ding, ding, ding. I could pack it up and go home. But you know what? I just want to, you've already hit the top pin of the curtain. I'm making up a knowledge that doesn't make sense. Sure, I want to put some weight under it.
Yeah. Ooh, let's bring it down. Let's bring it down.
Yes. So let's get the Khalifa. Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. It's likely formed from the Arabic word Khalifa, which means religious state leader or ruler, means or God's ruler in Moorish Arabic.
Okay.
So, like I said, you might have seen her and there are images of her. I highly recommend Googling her. Although when I did just last Google her, it was most of the images that I see, it's that we're reclaiming Queen Khalifa. Some will have her in this she's this white woman in this Athenian sort of garb, and it's like, no, that's not who she was. When you listen to these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So setting the scene, apparently, so you have these ancient, some of the cultures that you just mentioned from, the Polynesian area.
Yeah.
And so they come from, the empire. And they also, I'm going to talk about this in another episode, but they're also, Black Moorish Chinese that existed, tens of thousands of years ago.
Ooh.
And it makes sense. Black folks were getting around. They were getting around. So they were reigning over the empire of, it was a mixture, these Black Californians were a mixture of the empire of Zi, the ancient kingdom of Utala, and the nation of Atlan. And so Queen Khalifa, she was this great queen of gold and diamonds.
Yes.
She was a decorated warrior and general, mother. She was the grand and beautiful royal leader and beloved of all these wealthy and powerful folks. It was essentially just the land of blacks. So
I love this.
Huge in resources of gold, diamonds, precious stones and metals. And there's different sort of, I was reading different articles and they had different ideas of how far her reaches stretched. So some kind of put her, so there was this rumored, and I'll go into where some scholars of Spain were always talking about this island of California, which might have actually been Baja, because they thought, if you look at Baja, they thought it was an island, I guess.
Right.
At the
time. It's a very long peninsula.
It's a very long peninsula, so you could easily mistake it for, an island. So some say that her reaches stretch from San Francisco to Baja, as far inland as Colorado or Utah, definitely to the Pacific Ocean islands and nations, including Hawaii, like you mentioned, and Australia. And they were, like you said, they commanded lots of ships. They were seafaring, trades. They were heavily into trade.
I love this.
And when you think about it, of course, it sort of makes sense, like you were saying. And I think we don't always put two and two together that where all these black folks came from. Even in Southeast Asia, these are people, obviously from, that have mixed in with other cultures. But, there's a lot of, a heavily, heavily population of black folks in all of these different regions.
Yeah. I mean, black genes stick through.
That's why, a lot of people, go get their DNA test, and they're like, oh, I got black in me. This is why.
Yeah.
We went everywhere. It's were seafaring folks, right?
Yeah.
And again, keeping in mind, this was also a matriarchy society that they lived in as well.
Yes.
And I've said this theory a long time ago, but I think that there were more matriarchal type societies, but they were destroyed as you have the rise of the patriarchy. And that brought us into the dark ages and all kinds of... And we're now, you were talking about in the last segment, we're awakening. We're starting to question more. We're starting to say, wait a minute. And we're pulling out of this patriarchy, moving more so into a matriarchy.
So true. I mean, it's whenever a new culture comes in and tries to dominate, they take away the other one. For example, the nose of the Sphinx. There's it could be Hotep, but there's a rumor that they use the nose as shooting practice because the nose was African shaped.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, even going back to that, the Egyptian culture in and of itself existed for about 3,000 years.
It's crazy.
And, which is crazy to think. And anytime you're watching a movie and it's ancient Egypt and it's back and it's a desert, ancient Egypt was an oasis paradise.
Yes.
It's so stupid when they do movies back in time and it's a desert. No one was living in the fucking, some people were, but for the most part, it was oasis and tropical paradises.
Yeah. It's called look at the damage that people do to environments.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes environments do change, but at the same time, like, yes, we have definitely helped move that along.
And
so, what?
I just wanted to put a little addendum. Yeah. I Googled Queen Khalifa inspirational images. Just got to say.
Right? You're just like, oh, that is my queen, right?
It felt good. Her, like, with a bear flowing, all dark skin and beautiful.
Oh, my God. And, like, apparently, so the California Blacks had a long tradition of female leadership connected to different African tribes, which also had a lot of female leadership as well.
I'm loving this!
I know, right? Like, you just, like, you just want to, like, see this movie. And I'm also just, like, okay, I'll circle back to this again. Like, again, we could have this movie. Like, fuck you, Game of Thrones. Like, I had someone who was, like...
I will watch this shit.
Hello. Right? Doesn't this sound like, oh, and wait till you hear about what she had. Okay, even better.
Yes.
So she had she was a master of communication and commerce.
Okay.
So they traded like gold tip spears. Like this is like, they had gold, obviously. Hello, California.
Right.
Precious stones, furs, food, plants. She had the rare birds and animals and all just sort of intermingled into this culture that I like, again, connects from Africa, Australia, the Pacific Islands. And she was a long lineage of great lady rulers. And so again, well before Columbus, tens of thousands of years before, like these people were here for tens of thousands of years, which also, if I could sidebar a bit.
Yes, please.
When we look at the year 2017, it's so limiting, and I'm done with saying that, oh, it's year 2017.
Right.
It's more like the year 102,017.
Right.
That
there's been hella life lived.
We're in the future, and I think, like, it's and you also have to look at this. When we say the year 2017, who does that really benefit? You're saying that, like, life, yes, but who were the main... profiteers, I would say, of spreading this, you know, Jesus message around.
Europe.
White Europeans. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they would say, oh, this is when life really began. And it totally negates
everything
all the
before.
Movement, everything before. And I feel like when I was listening to this myth and these stories, I feel like I was regaining so much more of my humanity. Like,
yes.
How limiting to say that human beings have just existed for 2017 years. And I'm surprised that more even scientists and that we all just sort of just go along with it. Like, I'm so done with that, you know?
Well, I think the only reason that we go along with it is because it would be hard to kind of...
It's a
clear but like, marker, but I think there needs to be more discussion about how it's not an accurate marker.
It's not. And like we've for tens and thousands of, if not hundreds of thousands of years. So there was so much more culture and life and stories and that have been destroyed and civilizations that have come and gone. And I think it also negates the achievements and what Black culture specifically have given to the proliferation of the human race. And that we stretch back, our ancestors stretch back so far back. So just putting that on there.
I love
So looking back at this, so upon arriving on the California shores, the Spanish saw apparently a number of Black people with ships. And they asked the Indians, who are those people? And the Indians were... Yeah, and so when I say Indians, like natives, obviously. So they asked the natives, who
Native
are they?
Americans.
And the Native and First Nations people. Indigenous people. They replied and they said, this is documented. It said, Black curly haired people were of the land of California. And they traded with people across the sea, the Pacific Ocean, by sailing back and forth. And these folks, these folks had ships. They were like, what are they doing over there, right?
Yeah.
And so
where did they go?
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that too. Right.
All right.
What happened to the Black Californians?
This
and again,
is
like
fascinating.
Right. And again, like, I mean, some of this could absolutely be myth, but I think some of it is rooted at least in.
It came
truth
from somewhere.
It.
Where the fuck
and, right,
it come
exactly.
from?
Exactly. Why would someone just be like, oh, I'm going to make up the story about, you know, Black folks. And you look at it, it's like, oh, that makes fucking sense. Again, you think about how long human beings have existed on this fucking planet.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of years.
Exactly.
And there's even talk that even the Egyptians who were able to stretch out as far as West Africa at some points, who were master ship builders, were able to go all the way to South America as
I
well and come
it.
Back. Like, duh, these were advanced folks. And then you look at, like, why were there pyramids in South America? Like, it makes sense that these...
God, I love this.
So many historians, including the renowned expert and father of ancient African studies, Dr. Van Sertima, who he wrote a book called They Came Before Columbus, right on the nose.
I like that. I like a book title with a little bit of shade in there. Just right? A little petty.
And then there's David Imhotep, who's a PhD guy, and he wrote The First Americans Were Black.
Yes.
And Sheik Anta Diop, The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality.
Okay.
So many of them, they all corroborate this, that, you know, between 56,000 and 100,000 years ago, Africans started arriving to the new lands of the Americas.
Yes.
And also the First Nation, the Black Californians, were among many, Black cultures that were here, the Olmecs, West Africa, Manding, there were, some Egyptians, like I said, come over here, kings of Kush, and the first emperor of China. And like, there were like these Black Chinese that existed for a period of time, which I'm going to circle back into that. Like, I didn't get to dive too much into
black
this.
Black travel.
And there was the Black Mojave. There were, you know, even some of the native and indigenous tribes had, like, you know, mixing into it. That's why a lot of Black folks have, you know, native indigenous in them. So conquistadors of the 1500s, they had heard rumors of this island of ruled by the Moorish-like women. And so a lot of the Europeans that were coming over here would always describe them as Moorish.
That just means African.
Right, yeah, like essentially like the West African, because they got over here and they're like, what? How are these people over here?
Yeah.
And so like I said, she had fleets. She reportedly, this is my favorite part, she reportedly kept an aerial defense force of griffins and other fabulous animals like bears and tigers.
Okay,
and
well,
snakes,
that's not real.
Which were native to California.
Griffins are not native to period.
Wait, but if I was like Aneke.
Slash realm.
I was like, oh, Daenerys, she can command dragons. And,
I want some fucking griffins.
Right, so I'm saying, like, again, myths tend to get larger. Absolutely.
Yes,
like,
it's true.
I think that there's certain people that throughout time did exist.
That's
Hercules
fucking sick.
Or even Achilles, you know. But, like, this is how amazing that this woman was, that these are the rumors that went about her, that she could, that she and the California Blacks were able to commune with these animals and use them to defend against invaders. So probably what happened is they probably had some sort of, like, they were able to train these animals and
like
invaders
eagles.
Would come in. Yeah, probably like evils and the eagles, and they would get fucked up by it. And like, this is like, again, these are people that had a different way of connecting with the earth and with nature.
Yes.
Than what we have. That's when you see her in pictures surrounded by like bears and all these
it's
things.
It's so
creatures.
Cool. I can't even you know what? The more that I'm thinking about this, Game of Thrones ripped off of this a lot.
Yes,
like fucking Khaleesi. Khaleesi, bring me my dragons. That's Queen Khalifa and her fucking griffins. I see you, George R.R. Martin. I see you. I see you. Make her black.
Thank you. Literally, I'm like thinking about like that's the same thought that I had. And I had a friend of mine who they are white. And I was like, it's hard for me to watch Game of Thrones because there's so many white people. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I guess like they were trying to give excuses to it. But it's like, no, like you could have made her black. You could have made other characters black because we have a mythological past as well. And I bet you a lot of these stories, like even Lord of the Rings and shit, were probably stories ripped from African folklore and stolen.
You
know
what?
All of the myths and stuff that even these Nordic folk have probably came from our African ancestors and their gods.
I'm getting even madder now because now that I'm thinking about Game of Thrones, fucking Khaleesi, she's like the queen of slaves and she has a bunch of brown people bowing down to her. And she like... no. Okay, George R. R. Martin, not happy now. I'm very upset.
She should have... It would have been amazing to have this...
A black
woman. Black woman coming in and...
Yes.
Saving her people,
with some fucking lion hawks, because that's what a griffin is.
That's what a griffin is. Exactly. How dope. So, So, like I said, they had different mentions throughout sort of... literary context. Like I said, there was first a mentioning of Queen Khalifa in a lot of the European Christians in the 17th century. There was the Song of Roland, which mentioned a place called California, and it was it references Queen Khalifa there as well. So like I said, a lot of the Spanish conquistadors mentioned about, you know, they were looking for this woman.
Yeah.
Once it got into like recorded history, because other folks were coming over there and like looking for her. In the Adventures of Espalandian,
okay,
Khalifa is introduced. This is a Spanish book. Khalifa is introduced as a regal Moorish black woman,
courageous, yes,
strong of limb, and large in person, full in the bloom of womanhood. The most beautiful of a long line of queens who ruled over the mythical realm of California.
Fuck yes, bomb ass shit.
Yeah, and so this is, again, now we're going to dip into some myth, because, like,
yeah,
she's, like, got a very far reach here.
You know what?
And she was so...
I want a Khalifa tattoo now.
Let's go ahead and have a myth about this amazing, yes, like, you know, black California queen, because I am not mad at it,
I am excited about this.
She was so powerful, she could project her imperial power over the seas of the Mediterranean at will, and that she was able to protect against the Byzantine Empire and even in Southern Europe, that she just had like such a strong reach.
This is like, I'm gonna be a beast tonight. This is like fucking empowering me. I'm gonna open up that door and like scream out my house, just like, Khalifa! Like, I like feel connected to this shit.
And to be born in California, like, what a gift. Like, this is, like, her realm and her area. Here's
so
a quote that about Khalifa in one of the writings that was found about her. It says, "Know ye that at the right hand of the Indies, there is an island called California, very close to the part of the terrestrial paradise, which was inhabited by black women without a single man among them. And they lived in the manner of Amazons. They were robust of body and strong, passionate hearts and great virtue. The island itself is one of the wildest in the world on account of the bold and craggy rocks."
Oh.
So, I mean, they like, but you look at like down in like California and Baja,
it's
California,
true. It's bold,
very,
craggy,
like,
rocks.
Yeah. There's this one part. So, oh, this is what you'll find. This is really interesting. So apparently this everyone was looking for it. Mm. So Hernan Cortez sent out an ill-fated, he was like a governor of California when it was underneath the Spanish
rule.
Underneath Spanish rule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was looking for it. And he sent out, like, some ill... So people were searching for it. They would never come back.
Mm.
And then in 1953, Cortez led an expedition back to the land of Khalifa, or California. Oh. And he was like, this is... I found it. And then he renamed it...
What, California?
Santa Cruz.
Shut up!
He renamed it Santa Cruz, yes. And if you think about it, too, it's like, you look at Santa Cruz, it's, like, old, like, craggly.
It
and
is.
Like, you know,
oh,
maybe
for
he
new
would have
listeners.
Thought that was...
New listeners, yeah. Me and James met at UC Santa Cruz.
We met at UC Santa Cruz. We're like home of Khalifa.
This is
so,
the best.
But that name didn't stick because all like the black, well, they all like the black folks and even the natives were like, no, this is California. We call this land California.
But he's like, what about Santa Cruz? And they're like, no.
They're like, no, but you have that little part. That could be Santa Cruz over there.
They're like, who are you renaming this shit? Get out here.
And if you even think about this, so Columbus and his men, as well as people like Balboa and Peter Mater, who are these explorers,
right,
when they get to the new lands of Americas, they describe them as, they were like, oh, the Ethiopians are here, when they got to like the Caribbean.
Nobody fucking talks about this.
And even when they got to the coast of South America, they're like, oh, look at all these Ethiopians who are here. And,
what?
According to, they call them descendants of Ham, which is a Bible reference. I don't know.
That's what they use in Handmaiden's Tale. It's basically Bible code for black people.
Oh, yeah. Well, they said that they are descendants of Ham. So they got to the new lands of America and mm-hmm. they weren't just like, oh, look at these indigenous people. They're like, what are the black people doing here already? Yeah. What? They beat us here.
Nobody talks about this. I took fourth grade history on California and nobody told me about black people being here before anybody else.
Yep. And they were like decadent warriors, decked out in gold. So there we have it. Now we have gotten a taste
mm-hmm.
of a little bit of who Queen Khalifa is. I'm going to leave you on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Ooh.
Yep. We're going to find out next week. So where did she go? Where did they go?
Yes. Oh, my God.
What happened? So just a little bit of a nugget. And like I said, myths come from something, so I don't know that she had the far out reaches to go all the way to the Mediterranean and, you know, all the way to Australia.
But they probably were here.
but they probably were here. Yeah. And so for me, it was just, this was a great eye-opener to, and like you had talked about in our last segment, to question things more.
Yes.
Again, we're talking about, we're missing like almost like tens of thousands of history just because it either wasn't recorded or it was destroyed by folks who did not want, you know, that narrative to get out there. Because if you knew that like Black societies were all over this world trading, living peacefully amongst each other, had all kinds of who knows what sort of technologies or ways of thinking that they had that didn't fit into what their narrative was. So
they wouldn't be allowed, like people wouldn't be able to think of us as subhuman then and then use us for slave labor. You know, so there's there's tactic and reason to this. And also, I was just thinking on a lighter note, griffins may be fake, but you know who's in, who's native to California?
Eagles.
Mountain lions and eagles and hawks.
So maybe Queen Khalifa, here's what she did. She trained her eagles and like mountain lions to work together.
Yes,
and so
she
people
did.
Saw them as a griffin because she was that bomb ass. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Like. Because again, like Black folks have connections to, I think that we were using magics and all kinds of stuff. Like it's just we have a connection to the earth and like.
It's in our blood.
It's in our blood. Mm-hmm. And Queen Khalifa had that. Like there's a reason why she is this mythical person that is so large and so huge that people are looking for her, that like her stories are legendary.
I love it so much.
And so I wanted to make sure that the legend of Queen Khalifa continues. And when we come back next week, we'll find out what happened to Queen Khalifa and the Blacks of California.
Ugh, cannot wait.
Hold on to your butts. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
What a good episode.
Well, damn, lady, you did it. You did the damn thing.
So do you. I feel like fucking empowered by Queen Khalifa leaving me off on that little cliffhanger.
I know. Well, you'll have to tune in for next week to see what happened to her. I hope it's good, but probably not because we know how our history works out.
Khalifa!
I want to see hella Queen Khalifa costumes for next year. That's what I want to see.
And you know everybody's going to be like, are you Cleopatra?
I know. Yeah. Well, you know what? I could be because she was also not a white lady. She was not a white lady.
Mm-mm. She was not.
Well, speaking of non-white ladies, you can tweet at us because we are two non-white ladies.
We are two non-white ladies that you can tweet at on Twitter. Minority Corner with a K.
Also, follow Miss Fitzy on, she's on the tweets.
I've been tweeting up a storm.
She has. And also, if you haven't, you can find this little gift in the Minority Corner Kids Club Playground Club.
Yeah.
it's, Aneke was in a hilarious, hilarious video. She's in a new comedy video troupe called Nice Tan. It's in the Corner Kids Club.
Oh, Aneke, thanks for promoting that.
It's a little segment called Blackfish. It's fucking hilarious. These ladies are fucking hilarious. And shit they're talking about is, guess what? Fucking hilarious. So
thanks, James.
It's so good.
I know you are Dina Lohanning me up and I'm all about it. I'm probably going to post a couple more Nice Tan clips.
Ooh, so I haven't even seen these yet.
I might post it on Twitters or on Facebook or on Corner Kids. Kind of diversify, open it up. And if you want to see more, you can always follow Nice Tan. But follow Minority Corner and Nice Tan. Just do a little double clicks on us.
Double click. Because you know what? You want to get on this Nice Tan business before they blow up. So
ground
you're like,
floor.
Oh, I knew ground floor. Be the ground floor fans, right? Like, I knew them when. So... you were right there.
Where can they email us again? I forget.
At minoritycorner@gmail.com. Was that a soft pitch to me?
It was.
Because I usually, Aneke handles all of this, and I was like, I got a minority corner at gmail.com.
We just need to both say this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was well done. I usually just sort of like hang out. I'm like, you're so good at it.
You're
know,
like,
all the things.
Do.
Just thinking about next week's episode. Thinking about Khalifa. Where's she at? Khalifa, I miss you. And not to be confused with Wiz Khalifa. That's what we need to do this segment, because everyone's like, oh, Wiz Khalifa. No. Queen Khalifa.
No, it is Queen Khalifa.
Just so you knew.
It is so true.
Well, we'll see you next week for the continuation of Queen Khalifa and some extra treats.
I cannot even wait.
Well, we'll see you next week.
We will see you next week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Chill with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. Throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.